Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. JUDYGOLD.
So, all right, was it really brutal being at Yale Drama School?
The hours were hard. The routine of it is hard. And our class was not extremely close. So some of the, it was extremely hard. It was brutal. It was brutal. I'm trying to make it sound
right.
It's hard. And I think also the great gift and the great problem of training at the best drama school in the world is you're operating under this terrific pressure. Like, here I am at the Yale School of Drama, right? Like, I played Richard II. That was my final role. And I was like,
wow.
Oh, but it wasn't just, how can I play Richard II? I think the pressure was like, how can I play Richard II at the Yale School of Drama?
Right, right.
And so it's, and the training is so good, but it's so intense that I feel bad for drama school students because you're trying to manage your speech training, your voice training, your acting training, your body training, right? We do this thing called Alexander Technique.
So yes, I did that. Yes.
Spine aligned. You're trying to manage too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's very overwhelming and you want to be the best because you're at Yale. You want to be the best actor in the world. But I think proudly, one of the great things that about Yale being outside of the city is that it's an incubator. So I think I did some of the worst acting of my life at Yale. And that's why I went.
But did you feel safe? Did you feel safe?
Totally.
Failing or not failing, but you know what I mean?
No, I failed a lot and I felt extremely safe, but the pressure is, it's not the institution. It's
right.
The in the institution being like, I've
right.
made it this far.
How do I stand out? How do I
self-criticism, you know?
Right.
Like, I was more critical of myself at Yale than I ever was outside of Yale. And I mean, sorry, post-Yale. I don't put myself under that same pressure.
Right.
of being.
So like, it really does prepare you for, because I read that you say that you're neurotic and anxious.
But I'm.
Join the club. But it's like,
yeah.
Just talking about it with you, I feel like, oh my God, would you be able to share who was in your Yale class with?
Oh yeah. One of the best actors alive. My friend Winston Duke was in my class.
Yep.
He's incredible. He's a scene stealer galore. And we were always paired as, he's like 6'4" or 5", this huge, gorgeous, amazing, like Trinidadian, this dark skinned black beauty. And me, I'm like invisible. I'm clear. I'm ghost. And I'm 5'2" and like 90 pounds. So that our, you know, the casting, the chairs that did the casting at Yale were always, they had a ball. They always put us together as a couple.
I love that. Because I love that. Do they keep everyone for the whole time, or do they?
It is not a cut program.
That's so good.
So healthy. I mean, what the fuck? I hope cut programs. I hope they don't exist anymore.
Yeah. It also makes you so like emotionally cutthroat when you're in the business. Like you're always going to have that edge of like, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, it's not good. It's not a good way to learn thinking you're going to be fucking cut, you know?
Terrible. I think it creates like monsters, and it creates people who behave really badly.
As someone who always knew that you were going to do theater, sitting in that class, I knew this with my grandfather. I knew I was going to do this. You get out of school and you work immediately. Now, you did Pay It Forward with Kevin Spacey and Haley Joel Osment.
When I was 11, yeah.
So you're working, you were working before, you know, you got to this Yale. And so were there people at Yale that never had, you know, done any theater at all? Or were you like in a different sort of, here I am, I know how to work, I know how the business works, you know?
No, I don't think I was, because I was also fresh out of undergrad. And
right.
I double majored in theater and Soviet and post-Soviet studies because I don't know. I just.
Okay. That is so fucking hot. I can't even fucking deal with it. Hannah, I know that Molly's mom said that, oh, she likes you, but now I'm going to reverse it and be like, wow. Okay.
Hannah likes that. I did that, Judy, because like, I knew that I've always known that I was going to do this for a living. It's like the great love of my life. And I happen to be good at it. So
right. It's in your blood. It's in your blood.
It's okay. Like I just,
right.
It's okay that this is what I want to do and that I love it and that I get hired for a job. But so in undergrad, I really wanted to do things that had nothing to do with acting. So I took so many classes in neuroscience.
I love that. You did?
Oh my God. Yes. I ended up falling in love with neuroscience. It was my absolute favorite.
You could be like, what's her name? Mayim Bialik.
No.
She's a fucking doctor. She's a fucking neuroscientist.
Oh, I had neuro.
Yes. She is a fucking neuroscientist. And you know, what's her name? Danica Keller, whatever, who was on The Wonder Years. She's like a math PhD and like these, it's fucking
amazing.
The fact that your brain can do both of those things, like that is really amazing that both of your sides of your brain work that well.
Well, I'm terrible at math. That's why I took neuroscience. It was to get my math credit because I didn't want to take any real mathy classes, but
wow.
I ended up falling in love with understanding psychology on like a neurochemical level.
Right. Right. Here's something that you'll love, you and Hannah will love, that my younger son, Ben, who is 6'8" and plays Division I basketball, loves psychology. He wants to be a psychologist. I mean, like he loves it. He took educational psychology. Like, so that's what you're going to give to your grown boy. I've heard you talk about chosen family versus birth family, which I want to cry because, you know, as a gay, as an old gay, to have someone your age really get that concept is just so beautiful because it really is true. Like, you know, my girlfriend, Elisa, who I love, she's my fiance.
Congrats.
She's so, oh, please, it's been 14 years. She is so attached to her family. Like, that is number one. Like, there's this sort of like, you're in the family or you're not in the family. And she, and my relationships with people outside of my birth family are so intense that I think sometimes people who have this fucking amazing birth family don't get that. No, this is like, this is my heart and soul. So it's like, you're so fucking an old soul. I can't take it.
I'm ancient. Are you kidding? I'm literally ancient. I've literally, and since I was little, I've always known. I remember saying to my grandparents when I was really little, I said, well, Molly's a great name now, and it's going to be great when I'm Grandma Molly or Bubby Molly. But what does a Molly do as like a 20 something or middle-aged Molly? What is, and my grandparents were like, what? And I was like, well, I am, you know, I'm old. I'm an old soul. Like, okay, I think you'll be fine. You just do exactly what you're doing now until you get old and you'll be ready. And I feel like when I hit that, when I join AARP, I'm going to be like, here I am.
You're going to be on the fucking cover.
I have been waiting all my life for this.
I love that. All right. So you end up, you get younger right away and you go on this audition and it's six lines and Darren Star is there. And you thought it initially, it was just for the pilot and it ends up becoming a bigger role. But the funniest part is that I love that reading this, that you had to look at Kathy and Jimmy's bush, right? Is this Sutton right? Sutton Foster's bush. And you were like disgusted. And Darren was like, maybe he gave you a little adjustment.
He did. It was amazing. He was like, so I see that you're playing, you know, kind of grossed out. And that's a choice. I think this character, can you play it with a little more wonder? And I was like, oh, yes, yes, I can. And that was so informative. I mean, how lucky that I had a callback with Darren Star for a six line guest star. And
right.
One scene in the pilot that ended up going for 7 years. I mean, it is insane, but it was Bashir in some ways because it helped me. That is the lens that I played this character with for 7 years, where my instinct would be to play it with a little bit of judgment. I just would always make sure in that moment to adjust it to wonder. And
right.
It mentally made her, I think, this like cult favorite. And she was like the first of its kind character on TV. She was, you know, a pansexual best. She's basically the gay best friend, but she's not.
Right.
She's also like, she's not tokenized for her sexuality and she's a problem solver and she's a self-loving, she's obsessed with herself.
Right.
And she's a good friend. Like she's an anomaly. And I feel right. I did that with Darren's guidance. If you're actually listening, you can really like that one word, just do it with wonder.
That rarely happens. It's like next, next. The fact that he took that, he said, I'm going to give her a note. It was the simplest thing in, you know, when you think about it, but it wasn't. And like, I wish more directors and creators would do that with actors instead of being like, nah, 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 you know? So you play Lauren Heller, who's a Jew. And she is pansexual. And you also describe yourself. Do you describe yourself as pansexual?
I don't know. I'm queer. I don't know what I am.
I describe myself as bedpan sexual. Good night, everybody. Take care.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I, it's Avi has really, I'm just like, I love it. It makes me happy. and you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Cheese. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, they have palm trees, they have evergreens, they have houseplants, and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York, okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
I do a bit in my act. I was dying to talk to you about this. I do a bit in my act about, because, you know, we started out as LGB, then we became LGBT, which much better. And then once we added the Q, we opened the Pandora's box.
PK plus community. Yes.
I totally get it. And then I'm also, there's a little bit of Archie Bunker in me of like, okay, just hear me out on this. I feel like we, my generation, I mean, we did go through a plague, but I feel like what we, the way we approached it was, okay, this is the world. We're going to be in the world and we're going to teach you why we are equal to you and deserve to live with dignity, you know? And I feel like sometimes, not you, but like 20-year-olds are like, nope, you can't say that. Nope, you can't do that. Nope. And it's like, no, I have lived on this earth and I'm allowed to talk about that because that was my experience. And I feel like a lot of these, I mean, maybe it's the gender stuff, but it's so specific. And I feel like we're all fluid. And I'm not trying to be close-minded, but I feel like it's equivalent to getting a tattoo when you're 18. And you're then, you know, in 10 years, you're like, why the fuck did I get that tattoo? You know? So I feel like sometimes people are micromanaging their identities, not sexuality more, but does that make any sense to you? Like,
it does make sense. And I feel like, you know, we are, the queer community is like undergoing a change, which I actually think is good. I mean,
yeah.
And part of it is, not to get too heady, but I think part of it is like language is oppressive, and language, especially the English language, can only go so far and do so much in terms of describing how you want to identify.
Right.
So that I get. I feel like I wish there was a safe space for people to both fuck it up, learn how to get it right. And like within families, right? I think that would be most interesting to me, if like families that include folks that are like struggling with their gender identity and their gender performance and their sexuality, if they could all sit down and be like, listen, here's what scares me about, you know, me. Let's say I want to transition. Here's what scares me about doing that. I'm afraid if I'm transitioning, you know, F to M, I'm afraid you're going to misgender me, and I'm afraid that's really going to hurt. And here's
right.
Here's why it will hurt. Or, you know, my partner, for example, I'll just give a very concrete example. My partner is gender nonconforming. She uses she/her pronouns, But it some when her nephew was born, I remember it like it was a little painful. He's only, I think, 4 now. I remember it being a little painful for her that everyone in her family, and not even in her family, just people who met the baby boy, were immediately socializing him.
I am the same as she is. I am exactly the same. I think gender reveal parties are the most disgusting.
Agreed. Agreed. I just don't do it. Like you don't need to do
right.
it. For example, here's the thing. Like I don't want to, if we will probably have a son because we're lesbians or because, you know, we're two women, I do not want to have a bris, even though I'm Jewish. I don't want to have a bris because I actually don't want to have a party where we celebrate the patriarchy and we celebrate like, you know, circumcising the boy. Let's just
you have to go to, have you heard of the lab shul?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay. My friend goes there and her daughter had a B mitzvah and her son had a B mitzvah, and they don't do the patriarchy, and her father's Orthodox. And he started going, you know, I'm a Kohen. And they were like, okay, take care. It's so weird because, you know, Demi Lovato just came out as they, them. And I used to be like, what's going on? Like, and there's so many women my age, you know, I'm 58 and there's so many moms and we're all so, I mean, like I'm a gay, like I'm like, you know, and I realized as I was thinking this morning, I wish I could have been, because I was a they, them, like I sort of am half and half, and I won't wear women's shoes anymore. Like I'm just done, you know? And it was like, I guess it's this weird thing where I feel like so grateful. I'm happy that they have that, and maybe a little jealous that I had to grow up in this boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, and never fit in. And I'm always misgendered because I'm 6'2", or I was 6'3", but I'm 6'2" now.
I didn't know you were that tall.
Yeah. And so I've always been misgendered, like always. And it really pisses me off because they don't look at my face. I mean, I just had eye surgery on Wednesday and I was laying on the gurney and the anesthesiologist came in and said, called me sir. And I was like, really? And then he looked at my thing. And he looked at my name. He said, oh, she. And then I thought, and I'm like, you don't know if I'm a she. You know, like you looked at my name. Like I'm really getting, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of jealousy, but it's definitely, there's this thing, and you definitely don't have it, that I want to say, without us, you wouldn't be able to do this. You know, like without what we went through. And I feel like so many kids don't. Like they're like, you're an old fucking dyke and you're this and that. And it's like, no, I actually fought so you could be who you are.
I mean, I'm not like that, Judy, because my chosen parents, my chosen family, my moms are old gays.
Right.
And they were deep, deep in those fights. They were not casually being old gays. You know, they were not casually being young gays being gay. They were
right.
fighting for the rights that myself and my partner now have. So they are my heroes, my moms. And I think we're going to have to be very careful, especially the generation younger than mine. I'm a millennial, I guess, but the baby generation under me, they need to know. I mean, I'm going to have to work hard and my peers will have to work hard to make sure that they understand what it cost the community to get where it is now.
Do you follow the AIDS Memorial on Instagram?
I do.
Every morning I check that. It's just a reminder of like what we lost. And so you're so fuck. I love you. Can you tell, first of all, you were dating guys, whatever, it doesn't matter. You meet Hannah Banana. Okay. Now, were you shocked? I know you're open and, you know, are you shocked at yourself that you are going to spend your life with a she, her?
Maybe. I don't know. She's my person. And
yeah.
Ever since I was little, I always knew that I will marry whoever I want to marry. But I knew that if I was going to marry a man, I would probably go through a few marriages.
Right.
So it was not, I mean, on the one hand, I think I'm so relieved that I don't have to deal with a man for the rest of my life. And Hannah is just this exquisite, she's just amazing. And I cannot believe that she puts up with me and that I met her and that I was allowed by whatever spiritual force or the universe.
You know, it's Joe and Bina looking over you.
It must be because I think I really truly never believed that I would find that. I didn't believe I was deserving of a love like this. I think a lot of people in my life were surprised that because I chased Hannah. I met her my friend and I hosted this Fire and Fury, like salon style wine and cheese night where we read the first three chapters and we each invited six people. And
oh my God, that's so great.
Yeah. And my friend Ariel invited Hannah. They went to Jewish day school together. And I invited, you know, my weird, you know, loud theater friends. And I just was like, I couldn't stop talking to her. I couldn't stop looking at her.
It's so great.
This was like, this person is amazing. And then we went on this date.
Was it reciprocated?
She, I think, absolutely had no idea that I was queer. Even though I was leaning in hard. But I walked her outside and I showed off. I took Henry, my dog, downstairs, and he's really good at peeing off leash. So I didn't bring a leash and I was like, this is how good of a dog mom I am. And I, you know, at the end of the night, as she was walking away from the building, I was like, yeah, so I'm just wondering if I can, if you have one, if I could maybe, if you know, if I could have your phone number. And I was like, sure, yeah. It just ended up being the best first date of my life. And the second date was the best. It was just, I was floating. I was high. I was essentially I was on drugs for the first 8 months of our relationship.
I remember when I met Elisa and in the beginning and I couldn't sleep because I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like I'm laying in bed, like, oh my God, I can't believe that. You know, like it's so exciting when you meet the right person, even though I want to kill her right now. But so many people never get that ever. Mm-hmm. I am so Kinsey Six. It's so weird because I love men. Like I love my sons and I have so many straight guy friends. I've always loved hanging around with the guys. I have no desire to be near that thing. I don't want it in me. I don't want it near my face. I don't want it near my ass. I just don't even, ugh, I don't gross.
I don't want it near my ass. I don't know. This is where you and I are a little different. And I think maybe I am honestly pansexual. I'm definitely maybe bisexual, but I don't need to sleep with people in the binary either. Like,
right.
Judy, maybe I am pansexual. I just feel like this is why I choose to identify as queer because I love Hannah and Hannah is my person, but I don't identify as like a queer woman who's like, I hated having sex with men when I was sleeping.
Right.
With
right.
I like sex. I like love. I like,
That's so fascinating to me because I had a boyfriend in college because we thought my generation was like, it's so weird. You thought, well, let me try it to make sure. I have to make sure because I can't live like that. You know, it's going to be such a hard life. But we all, you kept trying and trying. And I felt like I was being assaulted. It was so unnatural, you know? And it wasn't his fault because he wasn't assaulting me. But I was just like, and I hated it. So that's why I think I'm a Kinsey Six. But it's just, it's fascinating because my generation also didn't believe bisexuals were really, it was like, you're gay, you know, but we've evolved so much. And it's because of people like you. Now, what your moms, when you met Hannah Banana, were they like surprised? Were they excited?
You can see my face. I have to I have to act it out for you. I was like, guys, I just went on the best date of my life with this woman, Hannah. And as it got I think maybe day two or three, it was so clear. Like when I'm going to fall in love, I know right away. I know before I fall, it's happened just a couple times in my life. And I know. And I knew that I was just my world was totally flopped upside down. And my moms, I'll never forget. They were like, oh, Hannah, Great. Yeah. do you want to tell us about her? They were really trying to play it cool.
And right.
They are not performers.
Right.
Not doing a good job at hiding. They were basically like, I could see fireworks going
on. Right. Like, yay!
They were fucking pumped. And I was like, I called him out. I was like, it's okay. Just like,
yeah.
You can like jump up and down a little bit. It's okay.
And then they met Hannah Banana and they fell in love with her.
They're besotted.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Honestly, me too. And I'm such a fucking anxious and.
Oh, please.
Such an anxious mess that I'm always like, oh, I'm so happy that I'm, you know, I think it's just part of my hard wiring is like, when is the other shoe going to drop?
Oh my God. Join El Club Jew.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
I have 2 last questions, but I swear to God, I could talk to you forever. You're so fascinating. And you're Bina ran Robert Kennedy's presidential campaign in L.A.?
Yes. And my grandparents were there at the Ambassador Hotel.
No fucking way.
Yes.
Did they ever talk about it?
Yes. And luckily my grandfather wrote a book that I'm actually working to edit. I might also do something, I don't know, where I like annotate it and I publish it as By Both of Us or something, but
right.
He does tell the story in that book. His book is mainly about his life as an actor and as an acting teacher. But there is the bit where Bina was running Bobby's campaign in LA. But I have amazing buttons. I have an RFK button.
I
have these amazing telegrams from Bobby Kennedy to my
grandma. No way!
Incredible. From Western Union, you know, meet at the Ambassador Hotel. It's so crazy.
That's so, what a major loss that,
That whole decade was just, it was too much.
I know, too much. And look at us now. Look at the fucking dumb shits we are now. We're full of dumb people.
It's dummies, dumb dumbs walking around dumbing.
And they have this, they can vote, these dumb fucks.
The dumbs can vote. The dumbs right. can vote in 2016. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. Okay. So, you didn't mention Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, Lupita was the year above me at Yale.
Okay, fuck this article that you graduated together. I can't.
No. She was 1 year, but I mean, we spent a lot of time together, but we were not classmates as such.
Right, okay, whatever. First of all, I'm so happy for you that you found Hannah Banana and that she's a good lawyer and she's adorable and you're beyond beautiful. These are my two questions I ask every podcast guest. Number one, we're pro mental health. I suffer from depression, anxiety. Like, I can't even tell you. I'm on 8,000 meds. What do you do for your mental health?
Oh, Judy, I love that you talk about this on your podcast. Mental health is like one of the great passions in my life. I don't talk about my childhood because I had a really fucked up childhood. And I'm private about it because I don't know that I'm ready to share all of that. But I'm definitely ready to share that I see a therapist who specializes in PTSD twice a week. I'm on 15 milligrams of Prozac. I love therapy. I love that, you know, there are psychopharmaceuticals that help provide a floor. So I am.
Do you like the Prozac? I've been on everything. I was on the Prozac and I forgot why I had to stop. Did I get fat? I forgot why, but yeah, I'm on the Wellbutrin.
Okay.
And the Luvox.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Luvoxamine. And it's an SSRI. And I take a Deplin, which is a methyl, like something that helps your brain use the anti, I don't know. I've been on. Yeah. But thank God for pharmaceutical.
Listen, big pharma sucks. And so like, I don't actually take Prozac. I take
Prozac. Same.
Prozac actually uses prison labor. So, and I'm an abolitionist, so I won't be using anything. Mm-hmm. I won't be using anything where they're using prison labor for a profit. Any hoozlebees. I'm essentially on a child's dose of Prozac because I know this is so weird. And my psychiatrist thinks he likes me, but I do think he thinks I'm a little cuckoo. I always say I prefer to be a little bit under medicated that like, I like having bad days because I differentiate from the rest of the days. And I don't mind the occasional anxious rut or depressive rut. I now have the skills because of my brilliant therapist.
Right.
Work my way out of that. And I because I'm an actress, I like to have access to
that. Yeah.
I like to have access to my full emotional life, as it were.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Cause when I first went on meds in my 30s, I was like, I'm not going to be funny anymore, but I just wasn't as anxious. And now I'm on my meds and I'm in a really stressful time of my life. And I am really, it's like, yeah, I'm on the meds. It's probably be worse if I wasn't on the meds, but I have feelings. You know, like I'm still, so yeah, I totally get with the, you don't want the.
I have to tell you, I was on Lexapro a couple of years ago and that did start to happen. It was very efficacious for about 2.5 years. And then I was on set and I was having a hard time remembering my lines.
Yeah.
I called my doctor and I was like, and I was on the lowest dose possible. So I wasn't even on.
Right.
Busy. And he was like, it's time to get off. And I was like, yes, it made me so sad. I was like, what is going on? I just felt like, you know, the efficacy wears off. You're not supposed to do this forever. You can switch, you can take breaks. I always like to try to take a medication vacation, but I'm not there yet. But
I'm too afraid. I'm so afraid. I've tried.
I have a good, both psychiatrist and therapist.
Yeah.
You'd be able to take a tiny vacation.
Yeah. Okay. And we call the podcast Kill Me Now because as my mother's daughter, every day I get aggravated over something ridiculous and I'm like, kill me now. I can't take it. So what pisses you off and makes you so fucking crazy angry?
So many things. Henry, my beloved child, my son, my 7-year-old dog, he's 7 pounds. When he barks, I literally threatened to call the ASPCA on myself. I'm like, Henry, no, kill me. I'm going to kill you. I mean, I do about a 9-minute monologue when he has a bark fit. To no one, to everyone around, it doesn't matter. It does. It's the barking.
But do you think it's, is it the shock of the bark or is it, because I get jolted.
Pitch. No, it's not the shock. It's that it's, there's a pitch. There's a slight howl in the bark. There's, you know, he is my first son. I did make some mistakes. So he has some of my trauma in there and I hear it and I'm like, ah, kill me now.
but you, I love that you relate to it. I love that you're like,
oh, it's like my pain and his bark. And I'm like, I can't take it. I refuse to handle this. No.
I love it. This was such a treat. You're just fucking great. You're just going to be such a force of your generation. I'm telling you.
I don't know what my generation is right now.
All I know is that you are, we need more like you, but there aren't that many. So, I love it. I read that you want parts that scare the shit out of you. I just love that you are, there's not many people like you that want to fucking challenge and are open and self-aware. It's just fucking beautiful and gorgeous.
That's extremely fucking nice. I feel like, let's talk every day.
Okay. I'm in. I just wish you all the best. I hope one day, I would love to work with you one day, like anything. You're just the best.
This has been so fun. Thank you for having me. I'm like, it's rare, you know, when you meet someone in your tribe, about even not including, you know, our tribe, but
right.
When you meet your tribe, you get it, you know it, you see it.
Yeah. You're the best.
Thank you so much for listening to part 2 of Kill Me Now with the one and only Molly K. Bernard, who is my new best friend. Okay? We are BFFs. Anyway, Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible, nor would my life be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe. Please leave a review. Please. Come on. Other people have so many fucking reviews, and I don't have as many as I'd like, and I've been doing this for a long time. So review, subscribe, 5 stars, buy my book. Yes, I can say that. When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. Watch Hysterical on FX, on Hulu. It's on Hulu. It's really good if you want to know what it's like to be a female comedian. What else? Go to my website, judygold.com, and it'll tell you everywhere I'm performing, everything I'm doing, which is not a lot. But I will be performing all summer in Provincetown, Massachusetts, as usual, because I fucking love it here. And, you know, it'll have my other dates on there because I am traveling around a little bit. So follow me at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, you know, like Jew, because I'm a Jew, on Instagram, on Twitter. You can fight with me. You can argue with me. I don't care because I am a miserable human being. Anyway, I can't thank you enough for your love and support. And if you're listening all the way to the end, I love you even more. Okay, because I know that I'm long-winded. But really, thank you for your support. Please get vaccinated. If you aren't vaccinated, there's something wrong with you in your head. I love you. Be well. And as we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long!